God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, as we deal with something that's really hard this morning, as we take a look at our past and the things that block us from being able to move forward, the things that keep us from truly living, God, I pray that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds would be open to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said in the beginning, today we begin this new series called Monsters in Broad Daylight. And in this series, we're going to be looking at the things in our lives that keep us from living. What are the things, most of these that are internal things, some of them are external things, but what are the things that keep us from being able to move forward and being able to live the life that Christ calls us to? And I'm not talking about any specific thing. I'm talking about a life of freedom. When Jesus says in John chapter 10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. There are things that keep us from being able to fully experience it. And one of the things we want to get to in this series is, how do we tame those monsters? Not just how do we name them. I think naming them is a really important piece of the puzzle, but then how do we tame them? How do we make sure that they don't take over us? How do we make sure that those monsters don't come out in a way that hurt other people? In a way that really keep us from being able to reflect Christ's love to the world? So how do we deal with that? Today we're going to deal with our past. Many of us, I would argue most of us, have some sort of monster in our past. Now, they're not all the same monsters. They're not all the same things, but most of us have something in our past that keep us from being able to fully live. I've had people come up to me and say, there is something in my past that makes it so there's no way God could love me. I've literally had people say that. I've had people come to me and say, there's something in my past that keeps me from being able to be a good parent, that keeps me from being able to be a good employee, to be a good friend. There are things in our past that harm us. And the word that we're using today is demon. And that's a scary word in the church, right? Some people have used the word demon in the church to talk about spirits that hurt you. And there's some biblical evidence for that. But I think when the Bible refers to demons and things in your life, I think it's more about tangible things that happened in our past that keep us from being able to move forward. So we're going to look this morning at a story. And it's a story we've looked at before in this church. It's found in the gospel according to Mark. And it's a story of someone whose present and their past is keeping them from literally in bondage, keeping them from being able to connect with the world. So I tell you this story from Mark chapter 5. It says they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. I always think this is the weirdest part of the story. A large herd of pigs feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were, what's the word? Afraid. They were afraid because he was dressed and in his right mind. Hold on to that. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. "Get out of here, Jesus. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Friends, when we hear a story like this, we have to discern, is this just a fairy tale or does this connect to our lives? Is there anything in this story that connects with us? Is there anything in this story that can meet us where we are today? We have to decide, does evil still exist in the world? We have to discern, are there things in our own story that keep us from truly living? Are there things in our past? That's a decision we have to make. Friends, I have spent countless hours in coffee shops and in my office talking to people about the demons in their life. Do you know that? Rarely do they name them that, by the way. If I sat down with you and the first part of our conversation, you said, hey, I want to tell you about my demon, I'd pause. And if we were in a coffee shop, I'd look around and see who else was listening to discern if I still wanted to be connected to this conversation, right? Because we're afraid of that language. We're afraid of having that placed on us. We're afraid to say that. In fact, most of us are afraid to tell anybody in the world about our past. When we fill out a job application, there are things that we hope they never ask for. There are pieces that they hope don't show up on the story. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, to think, is there something in your own life that keeps you from truly living? Is there something in your past? Maybe it's not in your own life, but it's in someone that you deeply care about. Maybe that demon or that thing of your past is alcohol or drug addiction. Maybe it's memories of someone who abused you or took advantage of you when you were younger. Maybe it's a past relationship that ended poorly. Maybe it's a physical illness that you had at some point in your life that keeps you from moving forward. Whatever it is, I think we don't have to be afraid of using that word demon in our current vernacular. Sure, maybe it's not your starting phrase, but I think it's important for us to name the thing that's holding us back, the monster that's inside of us. So what can we learn about Jesus and demons from this story that we're looking at? Here's the first thing. Jesus has the power to reveal the demon in our past. Say reveal. Okay, say it like you mean it. Reveal. Okay, Jesus has the power to reveal the demon in our past. It says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. Remember, the stuff is still inside of him at this point. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Jesus revealed the pain. Christ has the power to reveal the pain of our past. He has the power to name it, to get it out there. Jesus is the only person who could visit this town at this time, in this land, at this place, and reveal the demon in the man. Do you notice that? Everybody else tried. Actually, they didn't try. You know what they tried to do? To chain him, to put him up, to get him out of society, to keep him from fully coming out into the world. But Jesus comes and humanizes him. He comes and says, your past does not define your future. He reveals to him that there is more that he can do. It's as if this man has a light on him and Jesus can see something that no one else in the community can see. Jesus reveals his humanity. The man's howling like a wild animal, the scripture says. He seems to have lost the realization that he was created in the image of God. And Jesus comes and says, my child, you are loved. He connects with him. He gives him the ability to see himself differently. And he gives him the ability to let the past go. I just finished reading a book, of all people, by Oprah and Dr. Bruce Perry. And the reason I read this book was because in our pastor groups, each summer we're given like 10 books and we have to choose one. And this was one of the books that was listed, and the date worked for me to have the conversation, okay? I'm going to be really honest. And I picked up this book and I said, why in the world are we reading an Oprah book? But the title of the Oprah book is What Happened to You. what it says, the premise of this book, it says that generally the question that we'll ask somebody who's acting inappropriately is, what's wrong with you? Do you see the difference in those two questions? What's wrong with you defines who you are as a person. What happened to you says there's a situation that caused you this pain. What happened to you says that your past absolutely affects your future. And if I know what your past is, then I can interact with you in a more loving and kind way. What happened to you doesn't define you. That was situational. What's wrong with you defines you. You see the difference? And that's what Jesus does. Jesus reveals that there was something in this man's story that happened to him that caused him this pain. He doesn't say, what's wrong with you? They use the term unclean spirits. And I wonder if there's something in your life that you have deemed is unclean, not suitable for human consumption. A part of your story that you say, I can't absolutely let anyone know about this. A part of your story that you have defined has made you unacceceptable to God. A part of your story that has made you lose your understanding that you were created by God. I wonder what that might be. See, what Jesus does is he comes and he says, you are loved. Whatever your story is, whatever happened in your story, you're loved. NPR has this radio show, This American Life. I don't know if you ever listened to it. And there's one episode titled, The Devil Inside Me. And in this episode, they asked the question of various people. They said, do you ever have an inner voice that says things to you that tells you you're not good enough? That tells you you've done something, that tells you don't ever reveal this to the world because if you do, it will hurt you. And ultimately, the host says, it was like people have been waiting all their lives for somebody to ask them this question. A man in the interview said, I certainly know the voice you're talking about. Another one said, the voice is irresistible always. I'm in the thrall of that voice. A woman said, it's totally out of control. It's got this life of its own and I can't tame it anymore. And then they asked the question, do you think the voice is winning? Like, is the voice convincing you that you're not good enough? Is the voice telling you there's nowhere you can go? And a woman replied, right now, yes. I think I'm in some serious trouble, to be honest. At this juncture of this man's life, in the scripture that we looked at this morning, the voice has won. The voice has won. The voice has told him that his past defines him as somebody that is incompatible with humanity. The voice has told him that his value is gone because of something that is done, and he can no longer do anything. But Christ comes and changes the narrative. Jesus comes and reveals to him that he absolutely has value. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just reveal the demon and then move on. He doesn't just go, okay, here it is. Let me move on. He waits with you. He has the power to disrupt. Say disrupt. That was better than reveal. Well done. He has the power to disrupt the demon. What that means is he has the power to say that story's not the only story. He has the power to say that doesn't define your future. He has the power to say that's not your whole story. Y'all, do you know how hard middle school is for people? Some of you all work in middle schools. Your body is developing. Your brain is starting to develop. Things are happening. And it can be such a painful experience. And do you know how many people I sit down with that had experiences in middle school that define the rest of their lives? It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus comes and says, I'm going to disrupt the demon in your life. I'm going to stop the pattern. Look at this passage again, starting verse 9. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, which by the way means many. He replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. I mean, poor pigs, right? They had nothing to do with this. But the way our demon comes out sometimes does affect others, doesn't it? The way it comes out does cause pain to others. Sometimes it comes out in a way that it creates a past narrative for somebody else that didn't exist before because of the way that we treat folks. But in this moment, I want us to focus on the fact that Jesus disrupts the demon in the man's life. He shows that God has the power to disrupt violence of one's past. And look, the demons are trying hard. They don't want to leave. They take up residence, and they want to define your entire future. The past wins when we don't let go of it. The past wins when that's the entire narrative. The past wins when it defines all of our future. We don't want the past to win. Now, it's interesting in this passage that they go into the water. If you read throughout Scripture, do you know what the water is often used for? Chaos. Right? Cleansing, yes. So that happens, but then it's chaos. In the very beginning in Genesis, there's this division that's created by the waters, and it's all chaos. And God comes in and separates the waters, creates that peace in the midst of the chaos as these things go in. Christ coming into our lives, like deeply and seriously coming into our lives, friends, starts to send the chaos out. Oh, that is an amen moment, y'all. Right? If Christ sends the chaos, who wants a little less chaos in their life, right? Who wants a little less chaos in the world? Christ comes in and disrupts and pushes it out. When we truly allow Jesus to come into our lives, it transforms the chaos. It brings the peace. And I'm not saying it means all is perfect. You're not Teflon at that point, but now you have Christ to walk with you through it. Your past no longer is your future. But here's the third thing, and this is probably one of the most potent things that Jesus does in our lives. He has the power to redeem. Say redeem.
Redeem.
Oh, y'all are getting so good. He has the power to redeem our past. I think this is the most powerful part of the whole story. The man who was ostracized from all of society, as soon as he gets cleansed, what happens? People don't want to have nothing to do with him, right? They're terrified of him. But this man is a Gentile, which meant that he was not Jew. He was other than Jew. And he has a powerful thing happened to him. Looking at verse 19, it says, Jesus did not let him, but said, he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Friends, this is the guy who was chained up in society, who was put in a tomb and kept away from everybody else, and he becomes the first named missionary in the Bible. He goes to the Decapolis. He is the one who goes and spreads the gospel after Jesus for the very first time. That is a redemption story right there. He goes to other people and says, your past is not your whole story. He goes to other people and say, hey, you may have this understanding of God, but I want to tell you that God is more expansive than your understanding. That Jew and Gentile can be loved, which means Jew and everybody else. He does that. This is the one who the community said, I'm terrified of you. Get away. You can't be part of our community. And Jesus says, oh, watch me. Watch what I will do in this person's life. Friends, Christ transforms your life, transforms your past, disrupts it, names it, absolutely transforms it. And that's how we live differently. That's how we don't let that monster, that demon in our lives control us. Erwin McManus used to be a pastor in California, a writer. I mean, he's done so many really cool things. And I've studied him and followed him for years and years and years. And he tells this story about an interaction that he had with his son. And I'm going to close with this today. His son said one night when he went in his room, he said, Dad, don't turn off the light. And his dad goes, what do you mean? He goes, no, Daddy, could you stay here with me? Daddy, I'm afraid. He had heard all the stories about monsters. And Erwin said, I wanted to say, they're not real. And he said, Daddy, Daddy, would you pray for me that I'll be safe? He said, I could feel his pain that he was having in that moment. See, Irwin was struggling because what he didn't want to do was that churchy thing. Oh, I'll just pray for you and then everything will be okay. We do that in the church sometimes. We try to make it sort of like milquetoast. We try to say, oh, a prayer will fix everything. So he didn't pray for him and pray for safety. This is what he said. He said, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous. So dangerous that the demons will flee when you enter the room. And he goes, all right, but pray I would be really, really dangerous, Daddy. Today on your seats, you have these little papers of monsters. I'm going to give you a moment. I want to invite you, if there is something in your past that you'd like to write on the back, not on the front where the monster is, but on the back, that you'd like to be revealed, that you'd like to be shunned, that you'd like to get out of your life, I want to invite you to write it on there. I want to tell you, nobody's going to read these. They are going to be hung up front side around this room so that we can see over these next 4 weeks how we're getting rid of our monsters. And you can bring them to communion today, but don't write your name on them. But I wonder if this might be a way for you to release your demon. To physically write it out, to physically say it's going away, to physically say I don't want it anymore in my life, so that you can become free. So that you can release it. And as I said, this could be an illness you've had. This could be something someone did to you. This could be something you've done to someone else to cause harm. But it's a bit of a moment of confession to release it and to let it go. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you that moment to do that right before we receive communion, before Pastor Marcella comes up. But I want you to think, if not you, if you're not dealing with something right now that's in your past that you haven't let go of, who in your life is? Who might you be able to go and offer a message of freedom to? Who needs to hear the message that Christ can reveal, interrupt, and redeem our past? And second, what do you need redemption from in your own life? Jesus is standing there this morning saying, I can do this for you. I will do this for you. Let me do this for you. Here's my prayer. My prayer for us as we have this time, as we move forward from today, as you take just a moment and write, is that you would be really, really dangerous. That your dangerousness would kick the past out and would say you no longer have the power that you once did. Friends, be vulnerable this morning. Take a moment and write that thing down and let the danger that comes from Jesus give you strength. Amen.